wave of the wand, a puff of smoke, and the magic man pulls one out of the hat.
I still can't believe it happened.
Welcome to the Marrera's Magic Podcast, where the magic happens. I'm Sel Ballestia, your host. With me, as always, Xavier Ellis. G'day, Zave.
Mate, great to have you here on a late night public holiday.
I've stitched you up, haven't I?
You've stitched me up massively. But I'm glad I'm here. I love talking footy. But I did a podcast this morning for a young guy called Fletch. Then I might have drifted off to catch up with some friends. And you've told me you were coming to mine at 4. You've turned up at 7. I've cooked your dinner, and then you brought a photographer in, and now you're walking around the house in your cap.
The number one cap. And not to mention, you've got a croaky voice.
No, actually, yeah, I do apologise.
Your wife and kid have gone down to...
Kids
away for the week.
Yeah, till Sunday.
I've still made you cook the dinner.
I know, I've cooked dinner.
Day off work, public holiday, and I've still made you come on the mic. So.
And my alarm goes off in about 4 hours to head to work. So beautiful, Selbs. You've done well here, mate. You've stitched me right up.
Well, I want the best of you today because I saw the best of you on the weekend. I saw it firsthand where we went to this wedding, our good friend Jacob Brennan,
yeah. Who's
our mutual friend when we first...
That's how we met, yep.
Met each other and Zave, the best man.
Just backtrack. I'd never heard of you, Selb, until you tied the second win...
Well, where were you the first year?
No. Breno had told me about it, but then Breno hit me up about attacking the AFL on Twitter about you when they said you didn't sign up within the right time frame or whatever. So, Breno, I hadn't even met you really, and Breno goes, mate, you don't know this guy, but can you just attack the AFL for their stupid rules?
Well,
I was like, all right, I'll do it, mate. Let's go.
I was a bit embarrassed about the whole deal, but I'm obviously thankful for the community and got the chocolates in the end, so... Yeah, anyway, you were there doing the speech and you were nervous. And I don't often see you nervous.
You speak
underwater. You had your props, you had your form guide there, you had yourself a bit of vodka.
A couple of different songs.
A couple of little gags. I said, what's going on here? And then you put them, you had your notes out. I thought, well, you don't need notes.
Every time
you tell me, oh, should I give you a run sheet, Zay, for this podcast? You said, nah, mate, I don't look at run sheets. You had your notes, your palm
little palmies.
Put them on the old turnstile, picked up the mic and off you went roaming. I didn't go back. So.
Well, I think I missed bits and pieces in there too, which is a shame. But no, it was a good night. And that's when my voice has been left at the house that the wedding was at, had a tennis court. And we started calling it Rod Laver. And I left main court, centre court at about 2 o'clock and my voice hasn't come back.
No, I appreciate you coming on. So I did promise... a podcast this week because
no, absolutely,
it's getting very close to season guide time, so we're targeting early Feb.
Not going to lie, Derek Henry was even looking at the early players and stuff the other day.
It's going to be up and going.
Yes,
well, it's getting that time. You're starting to see lots of feeding through from Twitter. You're getting a lot of pre-season reports, mid-time, this sort of stuff.
Who's so, vaxxed? Who isn't vaxxed?
Yeah, I need to add that filter on the season guide.
Actually, you should have next to their name how many jabs they've had, so you can keep tack on where they're at.
Oh, Jacko, darling. So we're looking at first week of Feb. We're still aiming to get it done there, but this will be the last of the pods we're putting on Spotify until the season guide comes out. They're part of the season guide package.
Yep.
So with that, $29.95 again, we're going to give $10 of that to charity, to largely start, or at least $10. Last year, I think we said we'd give $5. We ended up giving a lot more than that. So.
Mate, you're going to blow well over 100,000 at Starlight. It's incredible.
Yeah, so today we've given over 80% of profits to charity as part of it, and that's why we've started.
That's amazing.
Doing what we're doing, and it's obviously growing to where it is, so I'm excited for this to come because we've added some new features and made it look really cool.
I think I can happily say with your listeners that you're probably a better person than I am, and probably...
Well, you've come on with no voice, no wife, no kid, left the pub for this. I mean, you're not a bad man yourself.
No, but do you know what I mean? In terms of donating so much money, mate, it's a... I don't pat you on the back too often, but it's incredible.
No, it's good. Well, most of the people who support...
Oh, no, of course. It's their money as well. Yeah, absolutely. As well.
So what we're doing today, I put out the call on Twitter. Send us a name. Send us someone
to
go through, and we'll sit back and basically give a bit of insight to the season guide, what I look at for the stats, where I have them projected, and how I attack these people. It was interesting. We've got a lot of names. It might have been 60, 70-odd.
Can I just dive in quickly before? I'm going to, off the back of one of your last tweets... You tweet about Luke Shuey.
Well, I tweet about Luke Shuey because everyone's talking hamstring about Billy today. Go being cheap and coming back from injury. Well, Shuey's cheaper.
They did his hammy today in
a
inch
fantasy
club.
Player. I said if his points per minute is high, injury prone.
First centre bounce.
Got the first clearance, so points per minute. Bang, three.
But you saw him here at my joint the other day. He looked just fit as a fiddle, didn't he? He looked fit.
Does everything right, poor bloke. You've been in that situation before yourself.
But he can play. I can't. I couldn't.
Oh, mate, you could play. You won a flag and played a couple of premierships.
Had 30.
Had 30 record-breaking marks in the grand final. I actually listened to our good mate and friend of the podcast, Will Schofield, his backchat.
Oh, yeah.
You heavily featured. I actually have heard and seen a lot of, almost too much of you, to be honest.
No, speaking of Scully,
he's running a bit of a fancy comp himself.
Yes, grand final tickets up for grabs.
If you enter his league, got to be a subscriber to
Patreon
his,
or whatever it's called, yeah.
To his pod, back chat, check it out. And he's giving two grand final tickets up for grabs for the winner of that league. And I dare say at the moment that you're looking at 1 in 100 chance of...
So I think that's 250, but not 250 signing up for fantasy. Yeah, so, fantasy. Yeah, good numbers.
Get on him, follow him. He's been good to us as well. So with that, with the names are coming, and when we get in some really interesting names too, which gets me excited.
Look forward to it.
So the way I've done
it, I miss footy selves. Like, as much as I joke around leaving the pub to come back, like talking footy with you, like you're smiling from ear to ear, I'm smiling from ear to ear.
Yeah, we're back on.
We're just around the corner, aren't we?
So I'm going to attack all the names when we get into the season guide. I've just narrowed it down to 20,
yep.
And those being the ones who were, if had multiple people wanted to know about
this
person,
overlap,
or they had likes. So it's ended up with these 20. And what's interesting is because would have been only 3-4 years ago, everyone's team structure was made up of the guns, the best players in the comp, and then filled up with rookies, guns and rookies strategy. What we've learned that, you need the best guns and people are going to score the best, hopefully at a good price. You need the good rookies to perform, but the difference makers ends up being those competition winners, mid-price range.
New club, injury riddles, whatever.
Hugh Greenwood last year would have been a Darcy Parrish.
Yeah.
These sorts of price point where they can go either way.
Yeah, sitting in the middle and then go. But they can also burn your
they
season
burn
too,
you. So
can't
only,
they?
You can only fit so many in, and if they pay off, they win your cars, and if they don't pay off, they're going to score as a rookie does without getting that cash generation.
Yeah.
So you shoot yourself twice. They're high risk. And with these names, the ones who came up the most, there's only one player priced over 100, which means we're dealing, and the people are considering these players who potentially could be a competition win. So we're going to run through one by one. I'll give my thoughts. Zave, who watches more footy than anyone I know, give his thoughts how they're going to go this year. So on that, first player, and I've ranked them by price, so the only one who
high
is...
High or low?
High to lowest.
Yeah.
The only one who is priced over 100 is Josh Kelly.
Yeah.
And he came up a lot, the chat with him, and you know this from last year when he sat that whole first half of the season, sitting half forward, don't know what was going on there, whether it's contract.
It couldn't have been contract. It couldn't have been. And I'm almost surprised that Josh Kelly hasn't come out and said he had OP or was dealing with a hot spot in his foot or something. It was just so weird that Josh Kelly, who's been a champion of that footy club since almost it started, was running around having 13 touches and one inside 50. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, so he's gone 114 before in 2017, 110 before again in 2019. Last year's overall average was 104. So he comes in price at that, 104.
Yeah.
He's 27, so you've got to assume that he's...
Hotspot
peaking. Ready to go. So that 114 he's done before, who's to say that's not going to happen again? But not just last year's 104. You look at it first half of the year when he was attending 33% centre bounces, he averaged 97. Second half, 111 from his 64%. So,
but even just watching to the eye, he was such a better player in the midfield, wasn't he?
Well, he's slick. He wins it on the inside too. He's not just a Nike. He's a beautiful, glamorous runner. Mm. People think, oh, get him on the outside and get him running.
He does it all.
Enough.
Yeah,
so
no, he does it all.
That 111 from the second half, that's him. So I think you're looking at that sort of score. And when he comes in price at 104, and a lot about the season guide, we look at starting squad analysis and what sort of score you need from someone who's priced at a certain point. And if you can get someone who's priced at 104, who I think at the... If he just continues what he did at the back half last year, 111, or if he can do what he did in 2017, 114, get 10 points upside on that high price already or high points already, you've got a very good, potentially M1, M2, M3.
And Giants will be good.
So, yeah, I'm a believer in Josh Kelly. Yeah. As much as there's lots of mouths to feed there and they've got lots of people running through the midfield, I think Leon learnt pretty quick. They played their best footy when he was running through the middle. Second one... Or most expensive one, Jai Sinkman is one of our boys and one of my boys. And
holidays in Kununurra.
Yeah, you like the fact he does that. Yeah. He catches his barra. So don't like pub much. I've gone back on what's the good calls. There's plenty of bad calls I made last year, but one of the good ones were these mid-ish price players. Darcy Parrish, I was hot on, did well. Jai Sinkman, hot on, did well. Warple was the other one. Actually, I think we'll speak about him soon. Did know well. But Sinkman, I was keen on from the start. He's just got something about him. So he's priced at 96. Obviously averaged that for the season, but it's the way it broke down. Where first half of the year, He just looked a bit slow to start. 86 he averaged in the first half. Second half averaged 105, and I think that's him.
I would look, and I don't know how you find this out. I'm sure there might be an article on North Melbourne's website or something, but if there's no report of him having been injured during preseason, it's lock and load with Jai Simkin. I can just picture him wearing running shorts, runners, never missing a session, being in the front of every running session, and all of a sudden Ben Cunnington goes back. He's obviously fighting with his cancer. And
Jed Anderson might not play early.
But also, if I was a coach and you paid Jed Anderson a little bit of money, and he hasn't been out of train since, and I know he's by himself, but it does affect the team. So do they cuddle him and welcome him straight back, or do they go, you play half forward for a little while, and then it means more Jai Simkin midfield time?
Well, and on the 80% CBAs, which you look at the other elite mids in the comp, he's right, he's attending as many as any.
Well, 80%, you assume the ones he's missed is probably coming off the bench.
He's 83% time on ground for 80%. So essentially every time he's on there.
And the ones are he gets to the wing and can't get any time.
6 year, 24, is trended up every. So he started off 49, 60, 67, 88, 95. It screams to me at least a 105, which is a 10-point upside. But if he's going to get improvement again on what he did the second half of the year, which you just assume given his age and his profile, a 107 is not out of the question.
He'd be odds on to win their best and fairest this year, I reckon.
Yeah, I'm a big fan, and he's a tick at that sort of price point. We look back at prior winning teams in the season guide, and around this 95, 96 price point, if you can get someone who can get a 105 to 110, they're the kind of difference makers you have, rather than paying the 110 for a player who's just going to average the 110. So this is a nice little sweet spot, which I like to
hear. Perfect.
Now, mate, something gets the inkling these guys either listen to you or they believe in you, but the name which comes up a lot.
Do you need a drum roll?
It doesn't start with a Z. But it should have, because we're not talking about him today. We're talking about, I don't hate Zach Jones this year, but the one we're talking about is Jacob Hopper.
Oh, yeah, no. Jacob Hopper's going to be someone to watch and enjoy as a footballer, but I can see him launching this year.
Because he's the one we look at this mouse of feed at GWS, and they've got players who have a bit of spark inside there, whether it's a Josh Kelly who misses out at times, Tirano gives a little bit in there, a bit of grunt. I like Cornelio, and there he goes forward, kicks goals. Tom Green, clean hands. Hopper's the one who, in my opinion, he can't really play anywhere else than inside mid. But
he's dropped weight. I reckon he's not that chode inside midfielder. He's not that fat inside midfielder anymore. So he's not a forward. He's a pure midfielder, but I can see him getting ball on the outside.
Well, that's what I'm wanting from him. So Ollie Wine's similar kind of body shape. That's why we've picked. Back end of 2020 when he averaged 100 and...
Oh, when he realised it was fitter. He was fitter.
Leaner. Yeah. Next year wins a Brownlow. Is that going to happen to Hopper? The only thing would happen to Ollie Wines, what I really liked and kind of see some similarities, he showed at back end of 2020 before he had that big 2021. Yep. Whereas Hopper just was best ever season's 92. He's got an 88, 89, 92, 80.
How old is he?
He's 25. So he's 25. Ready to pop. My issue is that...
Shit, I would have thought he popped... I thought he was 23 maybe, off the top of my head.
And his split's 92 first half, 86 second half. So when I'm looking at my metrics, I look at this and think, what makes me think he's going to go to 100? And I think it's going to be hard to see that happen.
Yeah, probably fair.
But the only thing, and I wanted to actually tweet this the other day. So Took Miller went from a 100 averaging player, 95, 100. Back half of 2020, he averaged... less and had less CBAs. He did the front half, and I looked at this in the same season guide. I was like, well, obviously they've moved past Took, who's probably 20 similar age, 24, 25.
Took went bang.
He went 124 where he did, and I was like, well, who's got the capacity to do that without showing us any signs of spikes in splits or whatever? And potentially Hopper could be one of those names.
Gold Coast Giants, so very different.
Yeah, 25-year-old, mouths to feed. He hasn't shown it to date. 3 marks per game, and for an inside mid, he only averages 3.8 tackles.
Got a ruckman this year, though. Might help.
He's not going to be one who's price 89. Is he going to get to 100? And if he does, I think 11-point upside with that. We're talking those other two who are higher price and have more upside than Hopper. So he's not one who I'd start with.
No, it doesn't jump off the page when you speak like that.
But you do like him, so I reckon you can still count your tickets if he does come out and have a good year.
I'll probably have him in the Derrick Henrys.
Next one, the ruckman of the group, Riley O'Brien, big Rob.
Oh, no. Next.
You don't like him because he ruined your season of...
Once Big Widder went down, it was all over Red Rover with Riley out there.
So the reason why people like Riley, 2019, first ever proper crack at it. He was a young, I think he had 2 games prior to it. Sam Jones, 2. Average 95. Second year.
He can run.
2020 came out with a 108. And we're like, okay, this guy's knocking on the door. I think his last five games was the number one ranked fantasy ruckman in the comp, more than Gawn, more than Grundy. We went into last year thinking, well, this guy could challenge these guys.
There's something wasn't right last year.
Nah, pre-season, I think he scored a 50 and then he was...
But he was running under pills. Yeah. What's his division from back half the year to front half
Well,
the
that's
year?
Why people are keen. Front half, he was 82. Second half, or last five games, he was 99. So that's a fair spike. He started looking better. I think they came and he had a few issues early on. But normally ruckmen get better with age and look more coordinated. He was looking more of a...
Worse.
Of a gummy.
His legs look more bowed than anything.
So he's coming in, price at 86, has done 108 in 2020. Yeah. And people are like, well, I've got question mark. Max Gawn's obviously a star, but they've won the comp. They know what to do with him. Jax will get some time. Who am I going to get as my third ruck who could potentially put up these sort of scores? And he's been a very popular option.
Mm.
I've gone back and looked at those last five games of 2020 where he was the highest scoring ruckman, and he barely played a decent ruckman himself. And when he did, I think the sixth last game he played Max Gawn and got a 68 or something against him.
Right, okay.
So I think that's people have been living off those last five, six games.
It might have had it was a shortened season, yeah.
Yeah.
With games every 4 days. And there's one thing I do know, the big men generally don't pull up that well. So maybe he was pulling up better than the rest and had a little hot spot.
And he wasn't getting spoiled. Mate, he was taking marks around the ground.
Oh, mate.
He had balls, one, two, three.
Sending tweets to Nick and all sorts of bits and pieces.
So he's still value, no question for that, especially if you've got question marks over Max Gawn, who might lose you some cash. O'Brien's price at 86. I think the 99 he finished the year with could be about him, so there might be 10 points upside. It's just that with those two ruck positions, set and forget's always worked. You look at the prior winning teams, you're going to need the two best ruckers at one point. And if you're going to get somebody who's going to score 99 and a Max and a Grundy, Sean Darcy might even be a 110. It's a lot of points to be giving up. And so I think that 108's not as reflective. It's more the 99 of the last five games. So he's okay, but I don't think he's going to be the competition winner pick like some people.
I reckon you get a good gauge on him 3 weeks in. He's a smart guy. Did you know he only got full marks in his VCE?
Yeah, he's smart.
Like 99 or something. Not so bad. He's not an idiot. So it's not like he's going to burn his talent. Time will tell.
Another one, I'm liking this because a lot of the people, they obviously see it, the splits, the bounce backs. You're buying someone that you think you get good value for them. But this, let's talk about bounce back. This guy's been due for a bounce back for about 3 years. Paddy Cripps. Who, when he was, well, he's still, we talked about the age. He's 27, so he's Josh Kelly's age.
Mm.
And we're like, oh, he's hit his prime.
But who moves around the ground better?
Well, there's no question who moves around the ground.
And what's the game heading towards? More congestion or less congestion?
Yeah, well, they want the less, don't they? So I've owned him in the past, and he used to get tagged every, had three people hanging off him. He just bullet bang, knock him off, get the handball out, lay tackles ferocious. Yeah. He's never going to get tagged again.
No, I love Paddy Cripps. I love Paddy Cripps. But the game of him, he used to have Gibbons who used to come to stoppages and be a bit of a lapdog to him. So Gibbons used to just block for him, block, free up Cripper to get a quick kick or whatever. Now, the game's far beyond that. That's old school Carlton stuff where they go, oh, how are we losing? We've got Cripps. Cripps had 35 touches. Because every team let them have 35 touches because they've took two to every contest. So that's changed. And Sam Walsh is...
Carlton.
He's Carlton. And Big H, obviously. But in terms of fantasy, he's Carlton. So, Cribber's going to have the free run of it. But I just don't know whether he can keep up with it to now have those 30 disposal games.
Yeah, and those marks which get... So the best players and part of the one of the filters in the season guide, you've got all your... Every player, 780 or whatever of them. I say in all my... winning teams, I didn't have any pure outside mids, and you don't want any pure inside mids. You want people who can start CBAs, get the tackles, push out, take the marks. Cripps is categories under pure inside, so it just stops.
And what goes down to him having that sore back as well, maybe is, maybe he does have a little bit of a change in his game. We just didn't see it because of back injury, but yeah, it's very inside.
So he'll outperform that price. I think was 82. He had a few injury games in there, but I can't see him ever getting that 109 again. Like we say, Josh Kelly says, Pete, they're different type of players, had different careers to date. You might get 100 out of him, which is, you're looking at 18 point upside, which is probably all you need, but it's, don't know, it's not as exciting.
A buy and sell sort of job?
Yeah, not as exciting as pick of some of these other names which we're about to get to.
How do you think Carlton will go this year?
No idea.
Yeah, it's almost like every player on Carlton's list bar Sammy Walsh.
Yeah. Well, he's a hot name, and one we talk about someone who's not as exciting, Taran Thomas.
Yeah, well, he could be just as exciting. Jeez. North.
So reason why everyone loves him, we all know our splits, and it does show. You look at players of the past who've had a good finish to the last year, come in the following year. And
yeah.
Follow on to his first half of the year, a lot more forward, 34% CBAs, 71 he averaged. Second half, 47% CBAs, 93. Last five games, 107. So that's the big figure. Comes in price 81 when he went 107 in the last five games.
He's a bit of a magician, isn't he? Like you'll flick on North Melbourne and he'll be a full forward.
Well, that's
and then you flick on North Melbourne and he's running and bouncing out of the half back line.
His only issue would be that they've got all these inside mids now, whether it's Simkin, Jed who might play, Cunnington might play, as you mentioned, that things might change there.
High draft picks, time to invest in the kids.
But I'm thinking Thomas, if they do need to have someone play more of that forward centre role, it'd be him because he's a goal kicker. But
I think he's good enough. And they speak so, it is funny. If he played at West Coast over here, Salbs or Collingwood in Melbourne or Richmond, it wouldn't be like people would be saying he can have 25 and kick three from the midfield.
Yeah, he's 21.
Not does he have 15 and kick three in the forward line at North Melbourne? It's like he could do that and be so damaging in the midfield. So
and he can do it with 50% CBAs at 107. So I don't think he's going to average 107, but he's certainly going to average more than 81.
Yeah, it's a good
pick.
The
beauty about him is a forward status, which means that you can have a bit more flexibility there. Fill the bank. I'm thinking mid-90s.
So I'm looking forward to seeing North Melbourne too.
Well, I've got some players there. This new
just kids, yeah. The hyphen. No, they've got some picks. The draft picks the year before, and then you add in a spring. I just wish Ben Cunnington was back playing with good health because I think everyone loves Ben Cunnington.
Oh, absolutely. Next one on the list, which came up pretty popular, Noah Anderson.
Yeah, I had Noah Anderson last year. Yeah, it's a tough sell for me, Noah Anderson.
So,
in terms of not, it could be a fantastic footballer, but Gold Coast basket.
Yeah, basket. One thing about Anderson, he was always a wingman.
Junior yeah,
level and
yeah.
Scored well because if you're a wingman junior, you demand all
him and Matty Rao 1-2 punch at juniors. All that sort of stuff.
108 juniors. The coach there, Stewie Drew, said, "Nah, this little we'll teach this guy how to win some of his own pill."
And love that too.
Inside mid, first half last year, 54% of the CBA. So he got him right. Big step up from the year before. So they're going to throw him in there. And then when players do that sort of progression where they start outside, then move inside and learn that part of the game, they can become pretty complete footballers and can have the potential to be those elite fantasy scorers. I just think it's a bit of a risk. Price 81 when you look at last year, second half of the year, average 77.
Yeah. Another one, find a preseason article.
Yeah.
If he's
no Hugh Greenwood, he might get some ops, but...
But Hugh Greenwood played a lot forward in the end.
Yeah.
But if you find an article which says, Noah Anderson's won the 2K time trial, I think that's the issue, because he doesn't look like one of those players that's the better runner than his opponent all the time. Do you notice that, Salb? Yeah. Like, when he's in space, you go, oh, truth, that's Noah Anderson in space. Shit, there you go, give it to him. But it's not like you expect it every time coming out of congestion that he's managed to work himself into a 1v-none.
And a midfield spot. So we talk about these different price points. We talked about just before when we looked at Taran Thomas, if he can get 15 points upside of what he's done as a forward, lock it in. Midfield, if he's priced at 81, I've got him probably going mid-90s.
Yeah.
I can't see him pushing that 100 barrier. Even though it is 30, it should be he's big, ready to break out. That's not enough upside for a mid at that price.
And what age is he?
He's 21, so he's still...
So he's still got that growth.
Yeah, still got growth. Next one, I mentioned this guy early because I made a few calls last year. Good ones, bad ones. Took being a bad one. The other one, James Warple, who I was... Pretty hot. I went back and looked at what I said about it. I didn't say I'd start with him, but I was like, well, he's probably... Could be 8 points under price here when he came in priced in the 90s.
But we argued, we agreed, we spoke together in agreement that for Hawthorn to progress, the bloke who won the best and fairest, did he win the best and fairest a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
He needs to be their best midfielder, not blokes who are 27, 28, 29. And unfortunately, James Warple just didn't come on last year.
So he went from a 97 to a 97 into his fourth year. That second 97... In 2020, the back half of that, he was averaging over 100. There's a period there where he was number one trade target.
No, he's hot as that.
Came in and he rolled it, scored well, rolled an ankle last year, just didn't look himself. And I thought it's because he spent a lot of time half forward. They were rotating.
Yeah. So Tom Mitchell went forward and so did O'Meara. So they did do some forward stuff with the four of them. Yeah,
still got 58% CBAs, which yeah. You want him getting 70, but it's still not like he went from a Josh Kelly first half year, 33.
Yeah, you know, it was Josh Kelly was picked as a forward, whereas these guys just had a rotation through it.
So, yeah, so the issue is, for what it appeared to be, you know this, you know Hawthorn in and out. O'Meara predominantly inside mid,
yeah,
bit slow on the defence. Tommy Mitchell, similar. Warp, they're all quite similar in there.
I would say don't pick Warple. I know Sam Mitchell likes Warple. And I know probably Sam Mitchell thinks that for Hawthorn to be great at some stage, and it might be 5 years, James Warple needs to be their best midfielder. So if you sit there and you put on the round one and James Warple plays 90% in the midfield, sold.
Yeah, 79. Worst case, we'll go back to that 97 he's done before.
For example, Tom Mitchell, I'd be more nervous about not spending that much time in there. Yeah. I'd be saying in Sam Mitchell's head, and I haven't spoken to him about it, so I've got absolutely no idea. In Sam Mitchell's head, he might be going, Warple is a majority inside and Tom Mitchell can start forward and work his way into the game.
One thing on Warple, and sometimes on Twitter, you go down a few rabbit holes, and one of them I was going down there, did a video of his going, cutting his vision with Sam Mitchell. And this is when I realised Sam Mitchell was going to be a great coach. Some of the stuff he was talking, I was like, these guys. And one of them, he was watching Warple sort of push inside for a little short mark.
Yeah.
He goes, what are you doing here? Like, he goes, you know that's not your role. It's, you're not there to get that 10-metre kick. And when you're a fantasy coach and he's now the coach, Sammy Mitchell, if he's instructing Warple not to, that's not his role, he's more the grunt, get it in and under.
I would say that'd be more in terms of the role-wise. Mitch would be open for anyone to get that kick. It's just maybe the stage of the game or the position on the ground, get down the line, because 90% of the time that ball probably goes down the line.
Yeah,
and
true.
What are you, they're going, we're one man short at the crumb, because Warple's put his head up his ass 15 metres on a 45. So, yeah, I just reckon, watch the Sam Mitchell-Warple relationship.
Yeah, so, yeah, okay. I'm with you. Pre-season, watch his CBA.
I just reckon, watch that.
70, not 50. Yeah. Zach Butters, next one he came up. Came up a lot, actually, Butters, because was promised midfield time. Hinkley seems to promise everyone. I'm not sure if you saw his most recent press. He had even, who did he have recently? Miles Bergman, that half-backer.
I like the Berg.
Lockie Jones, a big...
Yeah, he's, the Mully.
Colin Rousey, he's listing all these players off. Yeah, we want them more in the midfield.
Is there new rules where they have 13 starting in there?
Yeah, 13 and 6.
Question about Zach Butters. A truckload of hype around Zach Butters. I do a podcast with Ryan Daniels, and he's his number one player. Is Zach Butters in the top 50 players in the competition?
I think he could be. He gets injured. And we haven't seen it. So the reason why he's popular, forward status, price at 76. With that 76, last year, I think we had the 119 where he went mad. Potentially, it wasn't against West Coast that week.
He did have one mad one.
Well, round two, he went 119, and then the week
after... it wasn't West Coast, because they came over here and got absolutely thumped.
Yeah, that's right. That is right. So he went 119 round two. Round three, he was on 83 before three-quarter time, did that syndesmosis, missed a big chunk of the year, came back a bit more forward, Last couple of games, he came back in the midfield and got another 100 in
there.
Is
his style of play inducive to being injury-free, though?
Because he's slight and Bastion Crash.
Mad, mate. He's absolutely mad.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he's one of those players where you go, start of the year, Kenny Hinkley puts the magnets up and go, if we get 16 games out of Zach, out of 22, great. Because you probably almost pencil in a month or so with him not playing, because just the way he plays.
He was gone, 19, 17, 10 last year.
Is that right there,
But looking at upside, so 76 is price up. Built into that is that rolling the ankle in round two.
Yeah.
Coming back from the ankle, playing more forward.
Rush back a bit too, probably.
And obviously played so much forward that he hasn't even got forward mid-stats. He's purely forward, and his CBAs for the year were 21%. So... if that can get to, say, 40%, then, yeah, he might be able to see...
Could it be a Travis Boak, ships in the night sort of thing?
Yeah, potentially.
Travis Boak's 33, off the top of my head. He'd be 33. It might even nearly be a Trav outstanding. He goes so well in the Brownlow, but we haven't won it. Let's try it.
Yeah, so you're taking a punt on that, and then is it going to be Rosie who goes, Trav, you go, Rosie, you're in.
Well, I think it's Butters. I think Butters is the one. I do think Butters is the one that's been put up on the pedestal.
Okay, so I think he's got, well, I've got him going potentially low 90s, which is
okay.
Price at 76. It's tick. Great upside, tick. And it probably is a tick, but that's only if you can see 50% CBAs, and you've got, that's the beauty about these NAB Cups.
But the only thing is they go, mate, Kenny's sitting there going, Zach, you're going to play 90% midfield, but geez, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag in pre-season. And he splits at 45, 45 and 10 on the bench.
Yeah, well, he's another, come to another one, and this could end up being, because he is so good up forward, Isaac Heaney, who's been promised midfield time ever since he had that final series.
Look what Mills did, who was also promised midfield time for years and years, and then Mills became an absolute superstar.
So that's the one, and Petrarca was the same for years. We've had him in our team as a forward thing, and he's going to finally get it, doesn't get it. Then one year he does it, wins it. And that's why these sorts of players, they're make or break.
Did you look at Mills this year, and when Mills was in the midfield for the Sydney Swans go, he's their best player?
Oh, by a mile, yeah.
When Heaney's at full forward, you go, oh, shit, you'd be nervous sitting back there as a defender.
Yeah.
You don't.
Nah.
Like, I know Franklin's is a bit different, and they've got a couple of young guys down there and whatnot, but I just feel as though Sydney Swans need to just throw caution in the wind and play midfield and
it's happening. But all reports.
They've been saying it every year.
Yeah. Well, so he's average.
They need a goal in the second quarter, and he goes forward for 15 minutes.
There's 4 years in a row he went from 2017 to 2020, we averaged 90, always around 92, 90, 90, 88. So he's about a 90
around, average
with probably that 80 forward, 20 mid split. Last year, averaged 76, had those injuries, had that hand injury, came back, played a few, I think got a 23 in there. So he was
sore as a boy. I remember he got smashed a couple of times in one game. Yeah, like, absolutely.
It always happens. You kept trying to nurse it.
Trying to hide him, and he ended up getting upended three times.
So the upside's there in terms of he could get back up to an 88 price at 76, which probably isn't quite enough upside to start with. But I think that's the bare minimum. So if that's the bare minimum, you say, okay, well, if that's the minimum, it's not quite enough to be a competition winning pick, but I'm not going to miss out. He's not going to average 76 again.
No, he gets 76 the baseman, isn't it?
If he then gets Mills's 60%, 70% CBAs, that's going to be 105 for Heaney, and he'll be a competition-winning pick. So, again, a lot of these players which get thrown, as much as sometimes people think I might be able to look in the future, it's a lot of that is what role they're going to have, and it's just a pre-season watch.
And you've almost got to watch the conversations between coach and media, Heaney in Prakey games, Heaney in inter-club games. Now, there's enough out there to work out what's going on.
The fancy supporters, you watch it, like someone saw an Instagram story, the Swans are panning along and screenshot the right point where they had a ruckman sitting next to Heaney. So,
He's a midfielder. It sounds nuffy levels, but you do need to just keep an eye on articles and pre-season everything.
All right, next one, another one of Zave's boys, one which isn't quite my boy, is Zach Bailey.
Ooh.
So you love him as a player.
Love him.
How good was he last year?
Love
him. Won games off his own boot.
Love him.
Took side steps, tackles in, gets enough inside.
He's a North South player, which I don't know, fantasy, Selwyn, you know that I haven't done fantasy for that long after playing, sort of stayed away from it a little bit, and I've absolutely loved doing it. Some of the players that get high scores can go east-west a little bit. I mean, Zach Bailey's purely a North-South player.
And you don't want North-South players.
No, that's what I mean. He just gets it and goes damaging. Forward. Yeah.
So he reduced his average last year from the year before, despite everyone saying he's a...
Mate, so we spoke about Zach Butters.
Yeah.
I would have Zach Bailey in a heartbeat.
Yeah, well, they're both very good.
But you know what I mean? Like, then his numbers have regressed. Well, and we love Butters.
So he's gone 73 with... He still had 30% CBAs.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's an accumulator. His junior numbers weren't 86. He's never been a big scorer himself.
I don't know. Maybe the different format, which I know you're covering. Maybe it's more of a super coach player.
I think could be. So 73, he's priced at. If those CBAs go to 55, which they might Zorko pushing.
Zorko's old.
Even. If he goes to 55, I can't see him even with a good role getting a 95.
Just trying to think. Like Jared Lyons can't go anywhere else. Lockie Neal can't go anywhere else.
So I think he's at 80. So he's definitely underpriced because he's just going to improve. Go back on the trajectory. If you saw 2020 average 75, you would have thought last year, okay, 82. This year, 85, 86. I think he might bounce back to an 86. So when he's priced at 73, 13 points upside's great. And we all love talking about upside. At that price point, you need more than 13 points upside.
Random question in the middle of this. How many players do you pick in your team when you're flying, when you're doing it, that doesn't have massive upside? So, for example, Tuk Tuk.
Yeah.
You don't know what his upside is, but you know what he's going to score.
Yes, we go through this a lot in the season guide. I think that in the 2 years where I won, and then Craig in 2019 when he won, each of those, we only had two players from our starting squad who produced less than what they were priced at.
Right, okay. So nearly every player needs to go up.
And those two players in both of my sides, they didn't make my final team. Like, they got traded out. So that's why those players were talking about, like a Josh Kelly. Like, you want players scoring. It's hard. You can't have both. You want people scoring 110, but you don't want people. You want them out to perform. So if you can get someone who's priced at 104, 102, who could do a 115, that's what you need. Like what Ollie Wines did last year, took that jump. Obviously, Took Miller did that, took that jump. Jack Steele took that jump. And it happens every year.
Yeah.
And where I think everyone's got these stars, there's so many good players in the AFL. Who's to say someone else can't do a Jack Steele and a Took Miller? And that's I think they're going to perform very well again. They're not going to get the tag. They tackle hard.
You're hunting the next Took Took.
I think they'll score well, but I'd rather try to find that next Took Took, because the year before it was Lachie Neale who scored the 120. We've seen Tom Mitchell do it. Dane Swan, these people of the past, like, who's going to be the next one? Is it Sam Walsh? Is it
Dane Swan? A side note, absolute side note. I played on him at forward one. He was the hardest player I played on the forward line.
Hard rudder, eh?
The absolute opposite. You'd want to move up the ground and Swan would go, bye-bye. And he was so strong. Like, and his kicking skills were woefully straight, if that makes sense. Like,
Dane Swan. It didn't look good, but they got there.
Oh.
Well, I did look good and did get there.
Yeah, it's mine.
Pat Lipinski.
Nah.
Poplar pick.
Nah.
Poplar chat. Collingwood did the move from Western Bulldogs. And the reason why he's Poplar, 2019, he averaged for the full season 85.
Yeah.
On that, his last five games, he's getting midfield minutes, average 92. Constant midfield minutes. So that was kind of, everyone was like, okay, he's part of their future.
What were the Doggies doing in that year?
2019.
What did the Doggies do?
I think that's when they were kind of like just lagging a little bit.
Yeah.
So everyone thought he was going to come out and from the back at last five games, average 92, come and do well. He's gone 13 games, 2020, 9 games, 2021. Couldn't get a look at it. In the reserves, I think he averaged 115.
No, he goes mad in the resis. In the resis. He goes mad.
So I think he's shown he can get the pill in the right role. 92, he did a couple of years ago.
Lovely kick of the football. Was it?
He's 23 now.
Maybe the Bont was interviewed and said, who's the player you most want to be on the end of one? He said Pat Lipinski.
So what's he lack?
He's an outside player, and I don't think his defence is at the level.
Okay.
So maybe Collingwood, who aren't going to be good this year, would probably say that, wouldn't we? I don't think they're expecting to be outstanding this year. So maybe they can sacrifice a player who, look, a bit like the Seed, who absolutely, I'm a big Seed man. Adelaide aren't going great, but his offensive weapons outdo his defensive lacking capabilities sometimes. So maybe Pat Lipinski does that.
Well, he's priced at 72. I think he can do 92 he did. No, if he gets the role.
Yeah. Collingwood have traded for him.
Well, this goes both ways, though. So sometimes you see a player who can't make the best 22 in one team, like a Jared Lyons, Hugh Greenwood, who come out the next year playing for another one and given the right role, less pressure, and they dominate. They a bit of a point to prove. They come there with a chip on their shoulder.
And love. So they feel loved because this club's traded for you.
Yeah, others you see that people get them and think, okay, well, that's why.
Like Blake That's why Akers, it didn't work.
Blake Akers from Freo got him from St Kilda, early draft pick. Wasn't getting a game. All of a sudden, he's not getting a game.
But I don't know whether Blake Akers was doing much at St Kilda.
He wasn't doing much, but they got him thinking, he could be
the leader. I don't mind Blake Akers either. Like, he's leader.
Who's that one? Jackson Hatley.
Oh, yeah.
Adelaide, big early draft pick at GWS. Yeah. Oh, too many midfields. Let's get him over here. We're struggling. We haven't Matt Crouch is down. Sloaney's done in
eyeball. That was a weird pick. Oh,
and
so
he couldn't get a run.
The way I look at it, I think Pat Lipinski needs to be loved. And I somewhat feel like when Collingwood traded for him, it obviously shows that they have a spot for him and they're going to massage him.
Degoe back.
No, doesn't matter. They're that shallow, mate. They're that shallow, Collingwood.
Okay. Well, if you think they're shallow and he'll get the midfield role, 92 from a price at 70, 20 points upside is enough. I would have loved to see a midfield forward status, and then it's like, okay, yeah, I can take that risk.
Midfield role won't be like centre bounces. He's not that type of person.
Well, he'll need him, I think, to get that score.
No, I'm seeing him out in a wing. Like,
no chopper main. So, yeah, maybe... I think you need to see centre bounces to get the 92, okay, and then he is there. If he was a forward, you can take the risk. Midfield, there's a chance that he doesn't. We've seen Tom Phillips was another one who's done that
move. Yeah.
Regress. And if he comes out and just averages 80, he's going to be a Tom Phillips.
Collingwood, Dacos.
Yeah.
Pendles.
I think Pendles might push half back, won't he, this year?
Well, the Cripper goes in there then, Crispy.
Yeah, Crispy or even Maynard, they're having a bit of a chat about.
So yeah, it's not like it's an easy walk-up spot to play centre.
Yeah, so I find it hard spending someone priced at 70 in your midfield who you don't know what that role's going to be.
It's a guess. That would be a guess.
And we talk about some of those guesses. We know Zach Butler's a star. That one day he's going to play midfield and get 100. Is he going to be this year? I'd rather take a punt. Yeah. Heaney, we know he's a star. Taking the punt on Lipinski, I'd rather come back with egg on my face in round three or round two, like people did with old Caldwell, who... Same thing last year. Didn't have many good scores. Didn't have much opportunity. People didn't start with me. Had a great role. Got 100 round one. Everyone jumped on him round
and
two.
Then busted and then himself.
Got busted. But I'd rather do that. And that's a beauty with AFL fantasy. Two trades a week, use and lose. What else are you going to spend those early trades on?
Yeah.
A lot of these players, we've only got one NAB Cup game to watch. And unfortunately, Phillips last year sucked us in with his 150 or whatever playing inside time.
Yeah. Yep, the great sucking role.
Couple of rounds to see this.
But Lipinski, they won't muck around with. He's new to the club. The club is a bottom eight side, bottom 10 side, where they say. They're not going to muck around Lipinski. Just to get him in, watch his role in NAB Cup, and whatever that role is, I think would be his role in the season.
Yeah. Okay, another one again. It just shows how savvy these followers are, because they're looking at how someone's going to break out, whether that's coming in the right age demographic. Change of clubs is another big way you see people break out. And George Hewitt's a name which has come up a lot, because he's got defender status, because at the start of last year, I think he attended zero CBAs the first half of the year, averaged 56. Second half thrown in there, 52%, averaged 72. The finals game, he got a 106 with a big tackling game.
Mm.
So he's a defender price at 64 when they're, Carl, we mentioned the not lack of tackling. They're screaming for a tackling midfielder. I think that role's there for him to play inside mid. It's just how much do you think he can score given that he's priced at 64?
Yeah, that might be Glenn McGrath, a foot outside off stump. I'm just letting that go through the keeper.
Well, the way I see it, ninth year in the comp. So we've seen enough samples.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm not willing to do a T20, swing the bat at it and go and declare something.
It was best ever season. And I know he's been a tagger.
Where did he finish in
the
best of fairest? One year, I reckon he finished quite high in
the
best of
fairest. Well, he was the best tagger in the comp for a big period. I'm going to Google that. Kept Tom Mitchell down a couple of times. His best season in 8 years of footy is 76. So, yes, his price at 64. He's had a lot of CBA, which he's a tackle. And I think that he's not going to be the go-to, let's give the ball to Hewitt and let him do the rest. He's going to play that defensive mid-roll, free up Cripper a little bit, definitely free up Walsh.
Bloody George Hewitt finished second in the best and fairest.
Second
in
the best, what year?
So just quickly Google it. Originally from South Australia, Hewitt was selected pick 32 in 2013 to the Swans, going on to play second in the Bobby Skilton medal in 2019.
So 2019 was his career best. Oh, sorry, it wasn't. He's had a 76 in 2017. He's averaged 75 that year, 2019. As a tagger.
So he's getting second. So, all right, straight away I've already made my mind up.
Well, I think it's a 75 to 80. If he gets a good role, he might get a bit more ball than a pure tag, as people don't play pure tag anymore. If you've got someone priced at 64, you want more than someone scoring a 75.
So my opinion, 2019, did you ever sit back and go, shit, George Shorts grabbed that game by the scruff of the neck?
Nah.
Where'd he finish in the best of fairest?
Second.
What he does is, and what the coaches love, is the stuff that you don't see.
Well, he's
that's not dream team.
He's not
so that's not fantasy. That is the ultimate team player more than anything. That's your end of the year. You bloat your love, shake his hand, congratulations. I wish you won the best and fairest because you did that much stuff for the team. But it's not a fantasy player. I wouldn't have thought.
I'd be surprised if you look at the stats and I can see him getting 8 to 10 tackles.
Yeah,
I can't see him getting 25 to 30. So, Darcy Tucker. has created some noise. Price at 61, so cheapest chips. Last year, spent the whole time down back. I think he had 2% CBAs for the year. Big article last week. He did one of the interviews about the borders closure or whatever, and he mentioned he's training with midfield group, playing wing and on ball.
What's his age?
He's 25 and 27.
I feel like I've had this Darcy Tucker conversation for 3 years in a row now.
Well, I don't think he's like a B grader, isn't he? He's not gonna be. Oh, that's that one.
No, but I thought when he was say 23, he could have been in the mid-20s disposal wise, and you know, ran, carry, take some distance, slice and dice a little bit, and then that forward role is a shocking role to start with.
Well, in 2020, he was averaging 95 in the first five rounds, and then ended up going an 84 because there was a zero in one of the games he played. So that pulled down his average.
Have you got his? Does your system show his best ever game?
No. Last year, his best ever game, and last year he scored 111 one game.
Yeah.
So he's got the ability. Well, as I said,
half back, half forward,
mid-90s before. I just think he's going to be more. That was when he was getting good CBAs. I think his CBAs were 46% in that 2020 year when he averaged, say, 70.
That's when Darcy Tucker was when you thought last year.
He could be it.
Yeah. Okay, well, where's Fife going to play?
I think he'd be forward. We've had this
argument. Where's Sonny going to play? No. Now Fife's old, mate.
Forward.
Well, where do they try and put Sonny for 1 in 3 centre bounces?
Running through.
That's gone, I reckon.
Yeah.
I reckon it's finished now. I reckon maybe at 25, Darcy Tucker is the one that gets to go.
I think it's wing, but maybe it is. And if it is, ignore that. That's where it is.
Well, you're the Freo, man. You
look at his best ever score, 73. It wasn't 73, it was 84 because he had a zero. And before that 84, 1 point was a 95 after the first five rounds. So if he does play inside mid, I think in average 90. Price at 60 as a defender, that's the buy of the year.
Yeah.
I can't see him being inside. I think he'll be more outside mid, which means that 90 is not going to happen. 84, what his adjusted average was, is almost upside best case. So 84 is what he might average.
Yep.
Worst case, 78. Again, good value there. Bit of a stepping stone. Not going to win you the comp.
No. How many of these players can you have in your team if you're going to win?
Yeah, that's a good question.
How many can you have?
And one I'll have to say for the... We do a big analysis on the looking at the past starting squads and how many of these players they run in with because you don't want to because they're not all going to work.
Oh, no. Do you have 1, 5, 10? Do your research.
You might have
Sort it out.
I'm talking about maybe one or two in each position because with the two trades, you can afford if Tucker, you get him, he's outside, he's going to average 60.
Yeah.
You boot him week two or week three. If you've got... Like we had last year, or you had last year, and everyone had last year. Dow, who is this mid-price. Phillips, mid-price. DeGoey, mid-price early. Hayden Young. These sorts, which send chills down people's...
Derek Henry was derailed.
Like, how can we get rid of these players? Got too many of them. Whereas it's nice, that, as you said, is it good to have people you know who are just going to score? And that's what you want. You want someone you know they're going to score this. Like a Josh Kelly's going to score 104.
Yeah. And you hope for the north of that.
He could score 115.
Yeah. Yep.
It's not these people who are priced at 70 who might score 85, 90.
Because they might not score anything.
Might score 60. So, season guide, it's going to be big on this. Because I think, as I said, I was playing this for years, didn't really know the right structure. Land on it, won it. Years following, I've basically been putting my team the exact same structure as that in terms of a number of keepers, mid-prices, rookies, how much I'm spending on the rookies, and that it works. The system works, and that blueprint works. Another name of someone who I've been pretty keen on for a couple of years, and he hasn't delivered, and I've looked back at the way I've got it set up to where I'm writing my comments for the season guide. It shows me all the comments I've done in the past, and some I'm reading, oh, gee, I picked this guy's breakout. The rest of it, like, oh, this guy, oh, you could take a punt on him.
Which player, I know we're rolling to another player, but really quickly, which player's been your biggest hit with your little reports that you write? And which player's been your biggest miss?
Well, last year it was Tuk Miller. I said, I think they've moved past him.
Yeah.
I think his price at 99. I said, I think he might be a 90 sort of player.
Yep.
End up being the best player.
All time.
But then Darcy Parrish was one.
Oh, Parrish, you know.
I said,
yeah,
I think
yeah,
his price
yeah,
is
yeah, 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 yeah.
Ollie Wines, one not many people spoke about last year. I think his price at 94 went 112 or something. Gresham.
Jade
Gresham.
Paid 700 or something. So obviously he's got talent.
Paid Gresham.
Yeah.
You look at their midfield of Jack Sill, who I love, we all love.
Yeah, ain't going anywhere. Captain.
Yeah, but he's also an inside defensive. Seb Ross goes through there. They have Brad Crouch. They're all very slow, one pace.
Yeah.
Not goal kickers. They need someone like a Jay Gresham inside playing mid. And they've
tried Billings enough?
I think they've tried him.
It's like him and it's him and Billings. Gresham and Billings. Yeah. You're like, what are they? Are they going to be All Australian top 40, or are they going to be paid 700 and play 200 games and really just be what they are?
Yeah, so with Gresham, he's priced at 61 because he had that injury. He played three games.
Achilles, was it Gresham? Achilles?
Yeah, so he had a 17 in there. Geez. Yeah, you know that because you've done one, haven't you? Yeah, well, you've done most injuries under the sun. So 2019 was where I first was like, okay, he's good. Averaged 78 in the first half, 91 second half, 100 in the last five, playing midfield. And I was like, okay, here we go. Went to 2020, dominated the preseason game. I forgot what he got, but I tweeted about him.
Yeah.
Big points per minute. Sat forward the whole first half of the year after 2020. Same thing. Popped up all of a sudden, played a little periods of CBAs, and he scores well, points per minute well. Last year they tried him. Obviously he only played three games, and one of them he played scored a 17 injured. Played 55% time on ground for the average. But of that 55% time on ground, 41% CBA. So I think they want him as the midfielder.
Yeah.
Zach Jones, your boy, is going to be the other guy in there with a bit of spark, and that's why I think they really like him in there.
But I'm looking for Gresham articles really quickly to see whether it's something like, Jay Gresham has lost 4 kilos and the best runner of all time, but there's not a lot selling.
Yes, his averages last year, 73. Year before that, 77, 83, 73. These are sort of him as a forward, bit of teasing mid. He's priced at 61, so I think worst case he's going to go up to that 77 mark if he still sits forward split. I think he's going to get midfielder. I think they have to give it midfielder.
No, they have
time. He's a preseason watch, so again, if he doesn't get CBA in the preseason, 24
first round draft pick.
I think he can push that average right up to the mid to high 80s.
If you see him moving well,
yeah.
If you look at, because Achilles are shocking injuries. But if you see him moving well in a practice game or intra-club or whatever it is, you'll see it twice already tonight. Find the vision of him moving well, and if you think he's a star, he'll be a star because Jay Gresham paid highly. Jack Billings had the year without Gresham. Yeah. So that was the role. You know, they used to sort of wax that role of who's the half forward, who's the small forward, and he didn't take over. So maybe Gresham is the man.
Yeah, he's one I like a lot more than some of these other names being dished up. Upsides there. So 86, I've kind of got him landing up mid to high 80s, and it could be high if those CBAs are where I think they will be, which will be 55-60%. Next name, we mentioned him just before, Jai Caldwell. Reason why he's popular because he came in last year, new club. Well, he's a pick 11, I think he was at GWS. Yeah. Got to Essendon. First game scored the 108 or whatever he scored. I think it's 104, sorry.
Yeah.
Second with a great role. CBAs to galore. Second round was on 49 just after half time, looking like he was on track for another 100. Bain injured, didn't see him until the finals. Came out in the finals and looked good. I think that first quarter he had 16 touches or something. It blew out a puff and ended up not scoring. I think he only scored 61 or whatever. So overall, that his average was 77. Played two games, so he gets himself the 26% discount. So he's priced at 58. So last year, he was a popular pick, came in priced at 68 or 65. He's now 58.
Mm.
So he's priced at 68 last year and delivered. This year's price at 58.
Why are we telling people this one?
What are we telling people this
one? 58. He's going to go miles over that.
Difference between this year and last year, there's a couple of differences.
Parrish.
Well, yeah, round one Parrish was, and I think they've discovered he's best in the midfield. You look at the splits of Jake Stringer, who Woosher, thought Woosher was a madman playing Stringer in the midfield.
Over
Langford and Parrish for all those years. He finally showed, like, I don't think he's good for fantasy.
Jake Stringer was the best midfield in the competition when he was in there. It was amazing. So
he's going to stay there. Parrish will stay there.
I do think the Stringer balance is 30%. I think that's the balance.
Yeah, definitely the balance.
Because he does damage to you going the other way.
So they're two big changes. And the other big change is that last year we could take that punt with Caldwell. I've mentioned this about a few of these other players. That's why I'm not as hot on Lipinski just yet until I'm sold. So he's more of a round two, round three upgrade if he is looking with a role like Caldwell probably was last year, although it did kill people round two. He's only midfield sats. So last year he had forward sats. You could afford to take that punt if he didn't get the role. If you've got Caldwell as a midfield status, who knows what that role is going to be?
Yeah.
There's only so many midfield roles you can pick. We've mentioned a few.
Do you think Essendon think at the moment when they go to preseason, they're saying they can win the flag?
I think they can win the flag, don't they?
Yeah. That, so my point being is,
well, at least win a final, you'd hope.
No. Yeah, but so I reckon they're saying they're in their window now.
Is that Caldwell in that forward mix? Zachy Merritt.
No, you don't muck around though. So Caldwell will play. You've played 22 games, but you're not now donating games to kids, if that makes sense.
Well, he'll play and he'll play well. So I've got
He'll play and play well. But Parrish and them, Parrish is now, they've all nailed their spots in now.
So I've got Caldwell averaging over 80.
Yes. But he could do that anywhere on the ground, though. You know, a little bit forward, inside mid, a little bit on the wing.
Price at 58, it's like, well, you look at that, that's good upside in terms of he's going to go up a little bit of value, not going to hurt you on the field, few 80s. If you think he can go 95, like he looked like he was going to do at the start of last year with that right role, then he's a no-brainer.
But it is a different role.
So it just depends how he can fit in again. Wait till you see the season guide. We'll talk about how many of each player he can fit in. And just because it's a midfield spot,
But is that not better than a rookie?
Yeah, but rookies are priced at 20. So, like, what's...
Fair call.
So a lot of these names were coming through when people said, let's talk about this player. One came up which shocked me, and then wasn't just that, but then the four people liked it. So he boosted
So the name got...
So he made the top 20. Connor Nash, Hawthorne. You don't even know who he is, do you reckon?
No, I know Connor Nash.
The prodigal son. Connor Nash, Irishman.
I know Connor Nash.
Role player for
what did
years.
What did he do the back half of the year?
Back half of last year.
Last five games you got
last
that
Last five games, 47% CBAs, average 80.
There you go. And so I don't even mean I don't know what Connor Nash. I know what Connor Nash was doing.
Mitchell was kind of coaching a bit that last little bit, and he was the one. He coached Box Hill, and Connor Nash was... inside mid box. Yeah. He's a tackler. So
what year is he up to, does it say?
He's coming to his fifth season. He's 23 year old.
So the Irish discount's gone now. You know, like when you get a couple of mad Irishmen in their first year and they're doing bloody solos to himself and stuff, and you love it. Absolutely love it. But fifth year now. So no, he's now prime time. So
he's forward status still because that's where he started with his role. Is he going to be, like, Hawthorne, is Sammy Mitchell going to roll out Connor Nash as a 50%?
So how finished the season well, I reckon, off the top of my head?
Howard was good, but he was more wing, I think.
But in the big numbers, I reckon, at the end of the year.
Good marks, yeah.
I reckon it's a Nash or a Howe. I see them as in one position.
Well, Nash tackles, well, I love a tackler, particularly.
But Howe tags as well. I reckon Howe went massive at the end of last year, from the top of my head.
Is Nash in their best 22?
Probably, because they're rebuilding. So if they think there's something there, then probably.
Hold on tight. We'll get old. He's got his phone in his hand now. We might get old Zave to ask a favour from his friend Sammy Mitchell on that one. Because you want players in your team where you look at it and think, okay, this guy's an emerging star, whether it's Zach Butters, we mentioned.
Yeah.
And some of these guys we kind of put a line through, or we weren't as hot on, but at least you know that they're there and they're a star and they look good on your team. Connor Nash up just a bit. Couple more to go. Almost done. Sorry, Zave. You're still kicking, which is good to see.
Can you drop me work on the way?
Matt Rau.
No!
Matt Rau. So, first...
He looked all at sea, didn't he?
So, junior numbers better than Sammy Walsh. 124 he averaged that year. First year in the comp, four games in, I think he was averaging 111.
But, yeah.
Then he did that knee...
Shoulder,
it was that year. Average came down 89. Discount last year came in price, I think it was like high 70s maybe. We were like, most popular player picks.
Yeah.
Price 70s, he was going 111 pre-entry.
All the vision of him, you know, his shirt tucked in, sunscreen everywhere.
Injured first game, came back. Ghastly, wasn't he?
Oh, it was weird. It was so weird.
Slow looked. He doesn't.
It was all a C.
Look to be the man who, I reckon, old XLS might have done a few times in rehab. We might have skipped a few sessions and went to the pub. He looks like he'd be doing everything right.
He looked. Remember, we got to the stage where they spoke about not playing him.
Yeah. Well, I would have put him out to the paddock for the rest of the
year. I mean, and even I stuck with him and punted on him too. And you'd go, Matt Rowdy get 16 disposals. He'd run four at half time. It was so weird what was going on with Matt Row.
So, and he got the look. So 58 CBAs. Obviously, Matt Row at his best would be getting more than that. But average 59, which is, I still can't quite believe it. The way you've got to look at it with new lenses and you just got to forget what happened the year before, that's where you never have never again lists in AFL fantasy. If we thought he was a good buyer last year when he was priced in the high 70s or 70, this year's price at 55, a year more in the system.
Do you think...
full pre-season under belt.
Ollie Wines. So I put him in the category of Ollie Wines, Jacob Hopper, before it clicked for those guys. So... remember Ollie Wines used to jog along, get down the line, compete, contest.
It is 87. It's kind of, he was never going to be 100.
And then he worked it out. Look at Matt Rowell and see what he's running like. And he's not, don't get me wrong, he hasn't got baby fat on him really, but he's got those big legs on him and a big ass. I reckon just see if he's cut a kilo or two, it just looks more, and it's hard to say because he's so pasty. And I can put myself in that category. You look in the mirror and think, shit, why don't I look like that bloke next to me who's tan? The tan makes you look like Adonis, bloody whatever.
Stoinis.
Yeah, they look like Stoinis. If pale blokes look like shit. So Matt Rowell, as much as you think just keep an eye on him, what he looks like.
Well, points per minute's a big one for him. Obviously, I think he went per 100% game time, 139. The first year, 80 last year. If that's anything over 100, I think at price at 55, I'd be happy to take the punt. And we mentioned how many you can have. You can't have him, Caldwell, all these players around this mid-price
Lipinski,
range.
Yeah.
I'm more on the Row because
Row,
he looked like he could have been a...
Row or Caldwell?
Well, I'm a Matt Row over the two. But as you said, pre-season watch on Row because one day Matt Row hopefully will be a Brownlow Menace superstar. That's not going to happen.
But how much did we not... by the end of the last season, you're like, shit, they're buggered up that pick.
Yeah.
Season before, I had him winning six Brownlows.
Two more to go. Coming off injuries, bit of a theme here. Cam Rayner.
Yep.
Who obviously did the knee, missed all of last year. If you miss every game in a season, AFL fantasy, you get a 30% discount on prior year's average, which...
prior year wasn't great either.
64 gets him down to 47. So his price as a forward... price average 47. That 2020 season, back half, he averaged 64, but last five games, you got some more midfield time, averaged 76. So, like, it's if you're looking at his price at 47, is he going to get...
he won't score at 47. He'll score well over 47.
Coming off a knee is going to be hard. One thing about him, although he was number one draft pick that year, he's never been an accumulator of the footy. You mentioned your North-South, and maybe that's her recruitment strategy at Brisbane Lions.
Nah, he's not anywhere near the talent of Zach Bailey.
Well, he's damaging in terms of...
I don't think he is. I actually don't think he is.
His best might be. Well, the promise is he's not going to come out and get a Todd Mitchell 35
touches. No, but it's his fitness there for ages. Remember we were sitting in the forward pocket, didn't I do another podcast? We pull our hair out. You got a number one draft pick in a forward pocket. But I don't care if how good you are. You've got to find midfield time for this kid, and then you can work out what he does, because
they're finding it.
They have to.
You're looking at articles there. There's a lot of articles saying his best player in the match him just gone playing midfield.
And I'm all for Rain. He looks like a dusty Petrarca mold. But you can't do that from the forward pocket. You've got to be in there for you've got to have 20 contests so you can break open five of them and you look like a star.
But these, we mentioned Petrarca. We've mentioned knees. Think about knees. Some take a lot of time to get over him. Like Petrarca took a while before it finally clicked with him. Some people, like Robbie Gray, he did that knee, and you read a bit and hear what he says. He just took his rehab perfect, did the right thing, came back a far better footballer.
Might have been like not a wake up call for Cam Rayner, but a
penny dropping.
Shit, guy. I missed another season of footy, and he does, and he was carrying a couple of kilos. That was known and reported. Yeah. Maybe a year off has just helped him, develop as a strength of, because he's strong. You can see the Dusty in him and the Paddy Dangerfield where they break tackles.
Yeah, so in terms of the pick, that year he got drafted pick one ahead of, say, Brayshaw, who's now 110 player. Chera is like a 95.
Who would you have, Chera or Cam Rayner, if I gave you a pick of two?
Bit too soon with Chera to ask the old Freo.
Who would you have?
Give me a chance on Cam Rayner.
I'm having a throw of stumps at Cam Rayner.
But Brayshaw, I think, he couldn't have done anything wrong what he's done.
Brayshaw's daylight in front, but I still reckon Cam Rayner if the penny drops.
Yeah, so with those, Brayshaw and Chera averaging, I think Brayshaw's 1.5, Chera 1.10 in juniors when they got picked top five. Rayner never even averaged 90, so he hasn't been a big accumulator ever.
No, but he could kick 35 goals if in a year sort of stuff, couldn't he?
Yeah, but in terms of what he'll score this year in fantasy,
yeah,
75, Price at 47, yes, upside, forward status, yep, it's great. But you look at those forwards, and a lot of them come discount. We mentioned last pod when we go through the best 22, when we're dealing with a Mitch Duncan, Treloar.
Yeah, a lot of those players have fallen down there, haven't they?
I think you'd rather save that money elsewhere in your field and stock up forward, because these guys are probably going to be best 22.
Maybe drop the prices on some midfielders a little bit and then fill up down there.
Obviously, a lot of these, so early, we're not even in Feb yet. If these articles still coming out that Cam Rayner's dominating pre-season, like we heard about Petrarca that year 2 years ago when he did finally play midfield and win a...
It's weird, isn't it? They don't play midfield.
Last pick, Zave.
Yeah.
And an odd one, and one I haven't got a heap to talk about, but it's Finlay McRae. And it's come off the back, I think. Have you seen there's a picture doing around.
You're telling me I'm sitting standing here till 3 a.m. to knock off on bloody Finlay McRae.
We should have got a price low to high. Did you see the picture
Finlay
of him?
Finlay McRae.
Did you see the picture of him?
No, it reminds me of his brother so much. I think they're
brother
half...
on, we're talking brother slash Smith, Bailey Smith. These pipes on Finlay, unless they got the good lane.
He looks like he's got the work ethic.
He's got the work ethic. So we've mentioned before, I mentioned it would have been the first pot of this season. Second year breakouts are real and they help win cars. We had a Clayton Oliver go from a low 60s in his first season to a 104. I think he's going to be a unique case, but he helped win me the car. We had Tim Taranto go from a 60 to a 96 or whatever forward status, help me win the car. So these that last year, Noah Anderson was the one who took the big jump the second year. So one of these second year players is going to go and take the big jump. Finlay McRae, you say, he reminds you of the brother. That first game you played against West Coast.
I think they're half brothers.
They're half brothers.
But they're like identical twins.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that they're half brothers. Who knows what he's going to score? One thing about Taranto and Oliver when I won the comp, I didn't start with them because it's like, well, what are the... These are the ones I'm talking about. You get beneficial from having all these trades. Let me see what they look like in the real stuff. We've mentioned who's going to go through the midfield at Collingwood. Is it going to be him? And the reason why he's also hard to get a read on, he didn't play... His state year or draft year, they didn't play because the whole NUB league or whatever it is, state of earnings...
Yeah, close.
Year before, he was an underage playing half-forward flank. So you look at his average in juniors, he averaged 67, but he was an underager playing out of position.
What and look at Finlay McRae play. What tricks would he have as a half-forward, really?
Well, his team he was playing in juniors, he had Matt Rowe and Nora Anderson and Will Phillips.
But you know, in terms of he's a half-forward who just...
Yeah.
He's not breaking off the half-back. He can't split. He can't get a hit out. He's a young kid who just does what he's told.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's priced at 42. He's midfield only, so you'd have to use a midfield spot on him. So it's either him or the most expensive rookie. I'd take a punt on the most expensive rookie. Who's to say he's not going to score more?
And the hyphen.
One of these second-year players is going to take a breakout and use those first couple of rounds to get him. And I've been looking, my favourite first-year player last year was Tom Power from Kangaroos.
Yeah.
And what he showed... And his numbers are very similar to, say, Taranto. He was around that 60 mark, so they showed... Like, there's games there where Finlay McRae, when he got the right role, he was good, but there's games where he didn't... You thought, what's this kid doing?
It might be a phone call to the insider at Collingwood, I think,
have
for
you
me.
Have you got an insider at Collingwood, have you?
I mean, I told you about Penelope's ribs before.
Penelope's ribs.
Was it ribs? Was it the ribs?
Yeah, I think it was the ribs. That time we sit there forward, like, wondering what he was doing. You sat there with a smirk on your face the whole time. So, Tom, in terms of second-year players, I think it's Tom Power. He averaged 60, similar to Taranto and Oliver. I think one who's potentially get the jump, it could be him, but I wouldn't be starting with him. And it's showing, go back to the blueprint, season guide, all my trades on the winning years, starting squad winning years, and we try to follow that same print. You can afford to miss an early couple of big games. The price at 60, you might
and then chase them after.
10,000
and
eat your pride. And that's what those early rounds are for. And that's why I've always said never sideways trade premiums, because... You know your premium is still premium.
You said that before. I need to get a pen and paper. I did that all season.
You know the premium is a premium. Whereas you don't know Finlay McRae is going to become Jack McRae year two, or Tom Phillips.
Imagine that.
not Tom Phillips, he won't be coming. Will Phillips or Tom Power, whoever ends up being. So that's the 20.
Done.
I better take you straight in to see.
Mate, take me
out for Baz. Might as well get Baz here.
Baz has just done the fireworks. Now we're both heading to work without any sleep.
Straight for the chat. But that's it for the, well, pre-season, I'll probably call it. We'll be back on again before the start of the season with a Spotify free podcast, we call it. But I like to keep a lot of the content, particularly when we get into the nitty-gritty, a bit more niche and a bit more exclusive to, we mentioned we've got less than 1% of the comp listening to what we do in the season guide. Who purchased the season guide? So,
how do you get the season guide? What do you do?
Hopefully early Feb, looking at like 4th, 5th or 6th, mirrorsmagic.com.au, you jump on there, click one button, bang, at least $10 of that will go to Starlight at the $29.95. And initially it'll just be all the player profiles, every player in the comp, 780 of them. We're sitting there writing every one of them, or I am, sorry, for these.
I proofread them.
You do a bit of proofreading and pop up every now and then. And there's some tools. A price director will be part of this as well. So you look at some of these players like a Lipinski or Butters.
The Wongster's got a humming.
Yeah, is it worth spending this much money? What's he going to be worth in week 5 when I look to buy them? A few comparison tools, articles. And then the main one also is we'll be doing a lot more podcasts, news to you, but could be some solo ones if we get into, because that's where I've started the venture, doing some solo ones. I thought,
how'd they go?
I need some help. Gave you a call straight away. So lots of calm. It's exciting. I think you get a bit of a rejig to the website. You mentioned the photographer. I've got a few photos of Zave on there. So it's going to be... I'm excited to release this and get into the nitty-gritty, because it's been so busy, especially with the women's comp, which has been going well. The AFLW fantasy... Big week this week. Obviously, if you haven't heard, the Nissan, Hobart Nissan, the good folks there, they've come on board.
Hobart Nissan
out of nowhere.
Mate, I drove a Nissan in Hobart.
They did mention that. They look after the Hawks boys.
When I was down there, I had a Nissan through Hobart Nissan.
No, we love them. So they've given $1,000 for the highest weekly score this week, which for a free competition is the biggest.
So no cost to sign in.
Free comp. Biggest weekly prize pool in fantasy sport in Australia.
Yeah.
I think this little comp with 1,700 people currently registered, probably a lot less than that are active, and you've got a chance to win $1,000. One round where you can start fresh, pick a team, pick the best players.
So the AFL are giving out $2,000 to the winner overall.
We're not bagging.
So the tipping for the AFLW is $2,000.
$2,500.
$2,500. You got $1,000 up this week just for a round.
Highest weekly score can be a new team. The winner of round 2 was a new team. So you can jump on now, pick a team from scratch, pick the best players, away you go and win the $1,000. The more sign-ups, the better. We had obviously...
And you don't. And just to make clear, you don't get a kickback at any of this at all.
Luckily, Hobart Nissan are coming.
No, absolutely nothing.
Hobart Nissan are dropped on board. So that's that. Between that and punch out these profiles, getting them ready, and I'm excited to continue to bring what we try to do and what we've started, is bringing the joy out of fantasy sport. And
yep.
Couldn't happen without everyone jumping on board and supporting and getting around. So obviously, you always got to thank you guys, and we'll keep active and be in touch shortly.
And get over 100,000 Starlight. You've done a great job.
Hopefully. Cheers, guys.